should be like lingo. Like, oh, you're slapping the jigsaw, huh?
Slapping some pieces on.
Slapping to base.
All right, what have we here? Should I just drink it?
Yeah, take a sip. It's strong.
I know there's Canadian whiskey and there's strawberry. Mm-hmm. I don't know much more than that.
And you should be intrigued just by that.
Oh, that's tasty.
So this is a strawberry and whiskey lemonade.
Okay.
And it's...
It's not very lemony.
No, because you don't like sweet.
Right. And this is as sweet as I would like in a drink.
That was very much on purpose. So what I did was I took like the sweet Country Time lemonade mix,
mm-hmm.
and I had a bunch of lemonade from when you guys came over the other night.
Yeah.
And looking at it like, what can I do with this that Mike would actually like? And
because if you just poured in lemonade and whiskey, I'd be like, this is awful.
This is awful, yeah.
I'd have thrown it in your face and...
spit in it, yeah. Spit on the floor and just stormed out and be like, well, I'm doing an episode of my own.
God, how many times does that happen? You know, I know. We don't need another one of those incidents.
I mean, these walls, people can't see, but there's just like fucking drink stains all over every wall.
Yeah. Well,
you would think like it's masturbating.
But you've learned.
I was tired of you destroying all of my collectibles. Because you always manage to get the rarest thing in the room.
I try. I mean, I aim. I don't just sling my drinks at random.
That Obi-Wan is the half... body picture Obi-Wan. That is a more rare Obi-Wan, this is true, than the full body picture Obi-Wan. I found it on purpose. And you fucking spit up, what was it, Bailey's all over it? It's still, it looks like it's covered.
At least it's still in the box. You were smart enough to do that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, let's be honest. The value is severely limited now. So I took Country Time Lemonade and I looked up, I didn't have a grand plan, so I looked up interesting whiskey cocktails. Because I looked at my liquor.
You actually looked up.
Yeah, you want to see my history?
No, I believe
it. Literally, that was verbatim. Because I was looking at my liquor cabinet and I have more whiskey than anything, thanks to somebody. So I came across a lemonade one, or lemonade cocktail recipe that had a strawberry syrup.
Okay.
But that involved putting more sugar in it.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, what if I stew the strawberries for a really long time in just water?
Okay.
And then extract all of the goodness out of them.
Yeah. That
so good. That's what I did.
And it
reduced the sweetness because it threw the ratio off.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's what we're drinking.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nicely done, sir.
Thank you. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith, and you are?
M. Michael Carassi.
We'll figure out a name for this later?
Yes.
All right. And do we have any small stuff that we want to... Any short features before we
dive
jump
into
in?
The meat? we gnaw on the meat of the bone.
You know, I don't like talking about, certainly not local politics, but we should say something about the dump, I think. That's a thing.
That it smells bad. I don't want to reduce the property value of our homes, though.
Well, okay.
you know, S. Michael Smith, I really am interested in purchasing your house, but I heard on your podcast, avid listener, by the way, biggest fan, I heard that it smells really fucking bad sometimes. And in fact, the other gentleman on your podcast, who is an asshole, by the way, Mike Dickface McGee or something, I don't know what his name is. He also complains of this smell in a much more annoying way than you do, of course. But again, big fan of your podcast. Yeah, it's a fucking problem.
It is. And the dump is technically in Macedon.
It's miles away.
Right? It is.
Yeah.
It is miles away.
It's not like we live near a dump.
Right. You're in Penfield and I'm in Fairport. Granted, we're on, you know, in the parts of that are all close and sort of close-ish to Macedon.
Sure.
But it wasn't always like this.
No, this is pretty recent, a couple of years.
Yeah, in the last couple of years, it's been really ramping up. But there's a major, huge waste management landfill. I don't forget what the name of it is, but it has a name. I don't know.
Smelly McSwap Gas Face.
That's a real name. And the smell has been getting worse over time. And like you said, really ramped up over the last couple of years.
Couple of years.
And it's not, on a good day... Meaning on a bad day, it has reached as far as Canandaigua.
That's a half an hour away.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So as I understand it, one of the big problems is...
New York
this,
City.
Is yes. This isn't just local
trash.
Shit going into the...
Because as everyone knows, our shit doesn't stink.
Right. But New Yorkers...
Mm.
Manhattan shit. Boy, howdy.
Reeks.
Yeah. So, again, this is my understanding from talking to my wife, who's been following this and actively engaging in discussions on whatever the community...
Well, there's an app for it now.
There's an app.
There's multiple forums.
There's an app for reporting the smell.
There's opportunists on the forums trying to leverage it for class action suits.
Yeah. But it's a real thing. It's getting bigger and bigger, just like the landfill. And yeah. So they ship, among other ways, they ship this in, this trash from New York City in via rail.
Yes. The trash train comes in. And I guess it got stuck in Fairport one day. And
yeah, it got stuck in it. So, yeah, these like reeking, overflowing, whatever, rail cars full of crap.
Ugh.
Or just stinking up the town. I can't attest to the veracity of that, but that's what I've heard.
Based on what we know contextually, I feel like there's a strong chance it might have happened.
Yeah. So it seems like there's too much crap coming into the crap heap, and it's just sitting
and festering
before they can get it landed and filled and whatever, you know, buried. I don't know if that's the whole problem. That's part of the problem.
There's something about they put in exhaust pipes, but they're not going to have an effect for like 6 months.
Oh,
right?
God, I don't know.
I don't know anything about the science.
So yeah, I think they actually pump methane out of it. They like try to reclaim that so they can.
Well, they can fucking reclaim it all they want.
I know.
They reclaim it where I don't fucking smell it.
Ugh. Anyway, it's a big problem. And for those of you who might be like 20 or 30 miles away, and you know, you might catch a whiff of something and say, "What the fuck is that?"
Now you know.
Yeah, maybe it's us.
And for those of you in New York City, fuck you.
So anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that.
That's all you should say.
Yeah. Waste management people are dicks. That's all.
Yeah,
add that.
Yeah, I think we're gonna drop them.
Profiteering assholes.
Smelly profiteering assholes.
Mm-hmm. So there we go. What do you got?
I just really love the show Altered Carbon. It's kind of all I've been talking about and thinking about for days.
You talked about that. This is a new show on Netflix, and I haven't seen any of it yet.
They were promoting the fuck out of it. It's a
because I missed that. When did they promote it?
For weeks, if not months.
I don't know how I missed it all over the place.
Yeah, it was every time I went on Netflix, it was the banner ad, and they like started the preview before I could turn it off. I'm like,
maybe I just gotten to the point where I ignore that.
Yeah,
whatever's going on.
It's a futuristic noir.
Mm-hmm.
I got really excited.
So it's a series.
Okay. It's based on a book, which I didn't read.
Mm-hmm.
I got really excited because it is, early reviews I read said that it was equal parts Blade Runner and Neuromancer.
Okay.
Which I happen to love both of.
Mm-hmm.
Big William Gibson fan.
That's not, Blade Runner and Neuromancer, equal parts, it's not. That's not like a wide range. That's still a pretty narrow.
Right. A narrow range that I want to live in.
Okay.
Where it rains all the time and there's just kind of naked holograms everywhere.
That's fine. Yeah.
if you're not familiar with Neuromancer, you really should read it. Like, really, because it somehow manages to always be topical. But that is the book in which William Gibson coined the phrase and the concept of cyberpunk.
Right.
That is where that came from.
That's and it goes back to the 80s, I think, like early 80s.
Early 80s, yep. I'll pitch you the premise.
Mm-hmm.
It's the future. This guy gets brought back after... So the premise is through... And they totally gloss over this, which I think is great. At some point, we got this alien technology that lets you contain your like memories and everything in like a little weird chip thing. So you can just swap bodies.
Oh.
So you never have to, and if you have enough money, you can never die. Like, you can just keep swapping bodies.
Okay.
So, like, and in typical sci-fi fashion, it's, you know, paralleling today. So there's this extreme, disproportionate wealth that mm-hmm. literally lives above the clouds in these giant spires, and then there's everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the super rich people resurrects this very ill, very dangerous person to solve a murder.
Hmm.
His own murder, because he can't really die.
Okay.
So he's like, someone killed me. I don't have any memory of that 48 hours because I hadn't been backed up yet. So mm-hmm. figure out what happened. Then, of course, there's, you know, all this noir crazy shit going on. But very well done. It gets into identity politics. One of the most exciting things, the last thing I'll say about it, and again, this is all in the trailer.
So you could become whatever other identity.
Gender.
Race. Color, or whatever.
Well, yeah. That's the point, is the main guy was Asian. He had two different Asian bodies in the past, and they re-sleeved him into a white guy.
Okay.
And it, like, really fucks with him. And they really get into that. and which I think is great. Like, identity politics is ripe for, you know, being investigated. So the show is fun. It's really violent. It's really sexual and very adult. I've just been really obsessed with it.
Okay.
I only have, like, 3 episodes left.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you should see it.
I'm sure I will. We just saw an excellent anime.
The highest grossing anime in the history of Japan.
Yeah.
In fact.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Erica looked it up on IMDb, and one of the trivia facts is often compared to the movie The Lake House. And I was like, vindication, because that's all I kept thinking. Sorry, go on.
Well, without spoiling it too much.
It's called
Your Name. Your Name, it's called Michael? Quote, Your Name, unquote.
That's the title. I was really confused every time he kept saying that. Yeah.
Who's on first?
Third base.
So, I don't know if we should talk about the premise. I mean, it's...
No, because you went into it blind.
Yeah.
And it was
amazing.
Yeah. It's... The story's great.
Yes.
The animation was jaw-dropping.
Yeah, that was the thing that I noticed right off the bat. And just as it was, you know, starting, and there were the shots of the city and subway cars, and just like there was just crazy amounts of detail in the animation.
It was very cinematic.
More than I'd ever seen in any other animated film.
There was a lot of camera effects style animation,
mm-hmm.
like lens flare and stuff like that. I hadn't really seen to that degree and that well.
Right.
To the point where it really felt like really engaging on a different level than I was used to for anime.
Yeah, and some of the scenes, like a lot of there's a comet, which isn't really giving anything away. It should be. Shots of the comet are gorgeous, and like
especially once it goes in the upper atmosphere, like it gets, I was really like engaged just visually by that.
And when they're doing like a big wide landscape shot, mm-hmm. Panoramic sort of view of like this valley, the detail, it's a beautiful film.
Yeah, and again, it's the highest grossing anime of all time in Japan, and it only came out like a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
It said 2016, so.
Pretty new. So I think the writer was the same writer from Summer Wars,
mm-hmm.
which we also liked a lot.
I love Summer Wars.
And
the main voice.
The voice actor was
Taki.
Yeah.
The boy.
The main character, the main male character.
Right.
Was also the main male character in Summer Wars.
Yes.
And I think the same for the English voice actor, whoever that was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's consistency.
Yeah.
And the guy who wrote it, and wrote Summer Wars, also wrote a book that it's based on, and he directed it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, like, all over this shit. Yes, hello, I wrote the book, and I wrote the anime, and then I directed the anime.
But, I mean, without...
Well, no, it's good. Yeah, the plot, it's engaging. And it's
engaging.
Not, and it's not like Akira. Like, it's not gonzo sci-fi or anything.
No,
it's
at all.
Very close to reality.
Very character-driven.
Yes.
There are several, you know, very well-defined characters who have those... A common criticism that we have of various movies that we see is that, you know, that you never have that... The characters don't have that time to just breathe and look at stuff and just have moments. This has a lot of that, I think.
Yeah.
And some of them, there's a lot of humor in this.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships are very interesting, very, very intricate.
The relationship, I mean, it's the whole film, like, really is based off of one very strong relationship.
Yes.
Like, that's, I think that was what kept me engaged the most of all the amazing things about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not... I feel like there's still a lot of people who don't know what anime is capable of and maybe haven't kept up with all the advances they've made in the storytelling medium side of it, much less the animation side. But this is a shining example of what anime can be as an adult storytelling vehicle.
Yes, yes. And again this isn't giant robots. This isn't dueling samurai.
This isn't giant dueling samurai robots.
not any of those things. Not space battles. But there is you know, definitely a fantastical element to it. And mm-hmm. I think I'll just, you know, leave it at that.
It's just enough of a fantastical element to be an anime.
Well,
you know, I know that there's slice of life anime, but like, I don't usually watch that.
Yeah.
So this was like the bare minimum amount of like not normal aspects, if mm-hmm. you will, the fantasy element,
mm-hmm.
but that kept it utterly grounded in reality. And they were like, there were cheer, like there were moments where I wanted to cheer watching this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
and we're doing a really good job of not ruining anything.
I know. I feel like we're not.
We're dancing around it.
I can't recommend this enough. It is such a good film. It's definitely one of my favorite anime. I don't know where it would rank in like the top, probably in the top four or five.
Yeah.
Very, very short list.
I put it there. Summer Wars is hard to knock off, but. Our wives both remembered the plot, but neither of us did. So everyone enjoyed it, whether they knew what the story was about or not, which is another strong, you know, compliment.
Yeah, but I think this is a movie that would appeal to even people who aren't usually into anime.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Bam.
There's our sales pitch.
We're not
making any money off of.
We make so not any money. I am thinking of contacting Playtable, though.
Mm-hmm.
When I get confirmation next month with that it's shipping, I'm going to see if they're willing to sponsor us for an episode.
Oh, okay.
Do a review.
Yeah.
I mean, our producer said, guys, just ask. There's literally nothing wrong with just asking, because sometimes people are like, yeah, sure, here's some money, promote our product.
I mean, we've already kind of bought the product.
I mean, they got a lot of money from me. They got money and a fuck ton of my time waiting.
It's not like they're going to send you an extra one for free.
Yeah, I'm not asking for anything, really.
But maybe if they could, like, set us up with some free software.
That'd be cool.
To some games that we could try.
Or the near-field community to figure. Well, I want to talk about it when we get it.
Have we talked about this at all?
I don't know, and there's not a lot of... They pulled a lot of the info off the internet because they don't want to...
So let's give just a little teaser about it before we... You know, we don't want to jump into it too much.
Okay, well, we did actually... I did jokingly... We talked about it before you knew what you're getting for Christmas. So what I got you, Smike, for Christmas, as you know, but the audience is not aware, was almost a year ago... I put money down. Basically, I invested in vaporware.
Yes.
Taking a huge risk with hundreds of dollars.
On the Kickstarter.
No.
Oh, it wasn't?
This was straight up investing in the company. So it bypassed all that traditional Kickfarter.
How do you really feel about it, Mike?
No, I really want to play that game.
Kickstarter is not a real site. And if you've been going to Kickfarter and buying, I think you've lost that money.
But I love the smell of the brand. I was concatenating. I'm doing a lot of coding lately. I was concatenating GoFundMe with Kickstarter. So Playtable, I actually saw it on Facebook. A friend liked it a long time ago, and I was like, "What is that?" A long time ago, you were describing to me what you thought would be the world's perfect
board game. And this was like 3 or 4 years ago, or whatever, when the Nexus Players were just coming out,
mm-hmm.
which was the Android,
the TV box,
basically like a Roku made by Android,
right?
Before there was really a Roku, and it was, you know, basically just you're plugging in a tiny little Android console. Mm. There have been some other Android consoles.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, supposed to have, you know, obviously Netflix streaming different things and some games.
Because Android has a strong gaming platform, obviously.
Yeah, it does. It does. And a lot of board games are on Android mm-hmm. devices. And they've been on Android for a while.
Right.
A good while. So the obvious perfect solution to me would be, hey, let's get board games where the board is displayed on the TV via that Android device, and you can use your, like, a phone or a tablet or whatever. Each person can have their own other device that connects, and it shows them things like what's in their hand and what their moves can do, and they can use that as a controller.
Right.
And it made perfect sense to me. I think everybody else thought it was crazy, but...
no one built it.
No one built it. As far as I know, there's nothing available that I could get for the today for the Nexus Player or any other Android connected device that would let me do this.
That would give you that experience.
And if there is, I've totally missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody tell me.
And then someone did build it.
Yeah.
So this company came out, and they're all avid board gamers and super computer geeks. But so this company, Playtable, which, you know, the pre-orders came and went. They're kind of secretive right now as they want a big launch next month. But so they developed initially what's going to be a 24-inch tablet, but not
which
like,
is big.
It's big. It's fucking big. Yeah. And they're eventually going to do a 30-inch. and they were toying with custom table builds. Mm-hmm. Where they build it in for you, because they did one for themselves to mm-hmm. test it. But it's not a portable tablet. It's no battery. It's, you know, you have to plug it into AC power.
Yeah, which is reasonable.
Well, they said we could not think of a reason why anyone would want this portable at 24 inches.
Unless you want to play it when the power's out.
APC backup, then.
There you go.
But it is not an iPad. It is a board game console. It's the first board game console. And so they've been working for a very long time on creating taking those apps and tossing them. So the board game apps, they called those out. They're like, they're terrible. They are just quickly, you know, badly adapting board gaming onto a tablet.
You know, yes, the board game apps that you get on the tablet are very much single player experiences.
Yes. Oh yeah.
They're meant to be. I mean, you can play more than one player, but it's you're playing with somebody else, or you're passing it around, which is not. It sucks for.
There's no communal feel to it at all.
Exactly.
But this is a massive tablet you put in the middle of the table, and then it does exactly what you're talking about with mobile devices. So if you're playing. Catan. Yeah, well, they love going to Catan. So you're playing Catan, you have a hand, you don't want other people to see. Mm-hmm. That is on your mobile device, so only you can see it. And you can even, they even have animations. I don't know if you saw any of those videos.
No, I haven't seen
You can, that. Like, flick. So in games where you swap cards, you put cards out, you can flick it from your mobile device, and it'll flick onto the large tablet from where you're sitting. And, you know, so there's these blog posts, and they're very brainy people. But they talk a lot about like the experience of digital board gaming and how that has to be different than than just doing it on a tablet.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just a lot of thoughts been put into it. Mm-hmm. And then there's all this other stuff. They have it's also near field communication compliant, the screen. So you can buy some stickers and you can make your own games really easily. So any figure can mm-hmm. become interactive with the screen by putting a sticker on it. Mm-hmm. And they showed like some basic stuff. It also works with Amiibos because they're NFC. But it's very exciting. I went a very long time without an update and wasn't sure if they just took my money and, you know. But apparently it's coming out next month. So it's exciting. And I bought you and myself one, so we each have one.
Yeah.
So if they turn out to be really pretty cool, awesome. Then we both have one. If we ever get them.
Yes.
But, I mean, to be fair, they put a blog post about the team flew to China and met with a bunch of manufacturers, and they realized that they couldn't get a tablet screen maker to make this. It was too big.
Right.
So they had to go to TV manufacturers who are can manage that screen size with consistency.
Right. And then there are concerns about viewing angles, mm-hmm. obviously, because it's going to be flat on the table and nobody's going to be like in front of it, really.
No. It'd be the most uncomfortable thing ever. But they talked, there was a whole blog post about, have you ever actually thought about using a tablet in a group of people?
Yeah.
They talked about how that's a different, you know, use case than it was intended for. So it's exciting. Hopefully it comes out next month like they're promising. But
yeah. So yeah, maybe in a couple months we'll have a
very interesting. We will be two of the only people in the world to have one because they won't be for sale yet.
Yeah.
So we'll basically be their beta testers.
Yeah.
But you know, you get to say, hey, yeah, that cool thing that everyone knows about now. I had one of those before you did.
It stopped working after 30 days, but I had one.
I had one, and it didn't cost as much as it costs now in a store. So, all right, we're 25 minutes in. We should probably get to the crux of this. Oh, no, actually, one other thing. We watched the movie that was really good with Anne Hathaway.
Oh, Colossal.
Colossal. We haven't talked about that, right?
No, I don't think
so. We are apparently just doing
Colossal. Colossal's a couple years old, I think. Or was it just a year old?
It's a year and a half, 2 years old, I think.
Okay.
All I will say is, I wanted to see it when I saw the trailer. Like,
yeah.
The kaiju element was fascinating to me.
Yes.
It is a way deeper movie.
Yeah, it took a turn that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
I hadn't read much more than just the basic... And this doesn't really spoil anything, I don't think, because it's in everything I've seen or read about the film gives this away.
The
that she's is the
controlling.
Monster.
Yeah. She's controlling
the monster's doing yeah. whatever she does.
Right, which has a lot of comedic
yeah.
you know, aspects to it.
Yeah, aside from, you know, like killing people in South Korea,
which they do not gloss over at all. No. Like that gets explored very very deeply. But the movie is not really about that.
No. And I mean
That's the metaphor, but it's got way deeper themes, and it's realized in a way that I thought was much smarter than I thought it was going to do.
Yeah.
And if you're going into this movie just wanting to know why she can control the monster, you're going to be disappointed.
Well, yeah.
Because it's not the point of the movie. But
right.
Yeah, if you saw the trailer for Colossal and was like, what the fuck? You might want to check it out. It's smarter than you would think.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Although there's a lot of funny moments in it, it's mm-hmm. not. It's got dark as well as you call it a dark comedy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely, okay. It's a dark comedy. Okay, so we have put this off for a while, and there's no way I'm going to worry about spoilers at this point because it's been out for months.
Yes, and I finally saw it.
And you finally, and I'm like, Rogue
One. It's still in theaters.
In theaters. So we're gonna. We're going to dive into, if not beat up, The Last Jedi, which is, of course, the most recent. I know it's hard to keep track. It is the most recent Star Wars movie since they are on a yearly cycle. So just to recap, as everyone knows, I hated Force Awakens. I think I've talked about the reasons why enough.
Yes. Because J.J. Abrams.
No. Yes, but it's more than that. But if you aren't familiar with that, I'll repost the other episode too, where I go off on it. I really enjoyed Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
What are your feelings on the last two Star Wars movies?
You mean Rogue One in this?
And Force Awakens.
Oh, okay.
We're recapping.
Can we just... I thought...
Well, yay or nay? Like,
Force Awakens, I really didn't care for it that much. It was the nostalgia was so heavy handed and so like, hey, look at this! Look, it's a Millennium Falcon. We're gonna get in it. It was under that sheet the whole time. But you knew. Okay. it was full of that. Hey, look! Moments that really didn't add up to a real
movie.
Too much substance.
Was there a trench run in the original movie? Then we're going to put a trench run. Was there a Death Star original movie? We need a bigger Death Star.
I think one of the other key things about it, and it's certainly going to come in a minute when we start talking about Last Jedi, is the J.J. Abrams need, deep-seated need to make everything a mystery.
Yeah.
And that goes for so much of the stuff that was introduced, like almost everything that was introduced, all the new characters
was a dangling threat.
There was like a mystery. Oh, who was Finn before he became a stormtrooper? Oh, who are Rey's parents?
Where did Snoke come from?
Who is Snoke? What's their relationship? Mm-hmm. What is this group that? What happened to the Jedi Academy at whatever? Where Kylo? What's the Knights of Ren or whatever the fuck
Which
they
we still
are?
Don't know anything about
I don't know. What happened when she grabbed the light? What was this? What are all these?
Where is Luke Skywalker?
Where is Luke Skywalker?
The entire movie is about the question, where is
What's
Luke Skywalker?
What's he gonna do? Where is... Yeah. All of these question after question after question. And that's really Abrams' shtick.
It's exhausting.
It is.
Well, the amount of Abrams' shtick in that one in particular, it was egregious.
Yeah. And after the movie, we were like... And people were... We were talking like, what the fuck was this thing about? What are we supposed to... And you couldn't glean that much from the movie itself. You know, people were like all over the internet and looking through, like extended universe stuff to see, you know, what was this? Oh, who might this be?
Well, Disney, and part of this might have been Disney, not J.J. Abrams, to actually not beat up on him for a second, but Disney rolled out an entire made-to-order new expanded universe with the movie. So suddenly, and I put a little work in and read a couple books, and that actually filled shit in. So for that movie to make sense, that is a cardinal sin. When a movie's plot cannot stand up on its own, you have to read extra shit for it to make sense. Even if that makes it better, that is inexcusable as a movie. A movie has to stand on its own.
Yeah.
And this movie did not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, how did Poe survive the crash? And spoiler alert, he didn't. Oscar Isaacs just convinced them to not kill his character. And they just didn't write a better way for him to not have died. So they killed him and then brought him back, basically.
Yeah. So that was one of my biggest complaints about Force Awakens.
But you liked Rogue One more, right?
Yeah. Rogue One was solid. My biggest complaint about Rogue One was stuff was just happening too fast. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, there weren't that many moments for the characters just to
breathe.
Yeah, just to breathe and to have, and when I say that, like one of the most quintessential recent moments like that, that I can think of, that I think most people have seen was that moment from Stranger Things when, Steve and,
Dustin
are just walking along the railroad tracks.
Shooting the shit.
And they've just got that moment just to... Steve's just dispensing the relationship. Advice, they're just talking about bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got that wonderful moment. And I think a lot of people said that was one of the best scenes of the whole series.
And it was totally accidental that they just didn't have plots for either of them. And it became one of the best things about season two.
Yeah.
I totally agree. To frame it in Star Wars, for me, one of my quintessential Let It Breathe moments was the binary sunset scene. It's a famous scene, Luke's standing on the sand dune looking at the two suns, the Force theme swelling in the background. No one's talking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you're getting, he's got that adolescent pining for adventure, he feels trapped. Like, it communicates a ton of stuff without anyone fucking saying anything. And he's just standing there looking. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing like that. And someone said to me, well, what about in Force Awakens when she's in the downed AT-AT where she lives and she's wearing the helmet? And I'm like, no. Let's dissect that scene. So there's a shit ton of stuff in the background that you're looking at that's trying to fill in plot points.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that scene, she puts on a Rebel Alliance helmet that has a whole backstory and in a short story that's devoted to it. And there's everything in that scene has like 15 purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not what we mean by letting it breathe.
Yeah. Empire Strikes Back. I think a lot of the scenes with Yoda sort of had that.
Oh, they were fantastic. They were relationship driven.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing where Luke's like, "Hey, I'm here. Get me trained. Can I get? Mm-hmm. I got the lightsaber. Can we do this? I can go." And Yoda's like, "Shut up and sit down, you fuck."
Adventure, excitement. Yoda. So, all right. So now we are back. So we veered off in Rogue One to a Star Wars story territory, as we call them. We're back to the main trilogy. And holy fuck, Rian Johnson does not like J.J. Abrams. I am firmly convinced of that. And I challenge anyone who's seen both Force Awakens and Last Jedi to fucking disagree with me.
Okay, yeah. Obviously, the very first thing that happens is Luke takes the extended lightsaber and just tosses it
over his shoulder.
No, we're not going to do this.
Oh, is this important? Do you know the backstory? Do you know what he was thinking about when he was afraid to take it at the end of Force Awakens? Have you heard this?
What? No.
This only came out recently.
No.
So, you know, he had to do a lot of acting in that one scene, right? Well, I mean, that's how he approached it. And Mark Hamill's like a legit stage actor, right? Actor.
Yes.
That was a weird...
No, because I think his... towards the end of the movie, he does just a fantastic job.
You mean Last Jedi?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get that. But this was very interesting. I just read this recently. So that moment at the end of Force Awakens where Rey's like trying to give him, you know, take this, it's yours, teach me. And he's like afraid to touch it. Fucking Mark Hamill like sat down and came up with this horrific non-canon backstory as to why he wouldn't touch it. And he ran it by J.J. Abrams is like, yeah, I guess, sure. But like, so Mark Hamill's story that he came up with was that he, in the intervening years, around the time of the Jedi Academy, he had like shacked up with this woman who had a son.
What?
I know. And the son was like, you know, 4 or 5 or whatever. And he found the lightsaber one day and turned it on.
Oh.
And impaled himself with it. And so that was this like horrifically sad backstory.
That's J.J. Abrams not giving him
anything to work with.
And
Mark Hamill's like, well,
I'll fucking come up with something.
Depressing as shit. Anyway, yeah. So right, first scene of Last Jedi, you know that it felt like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. J.J. Abrams had all the shit planned out, and Rian Johnson just spent an entire movie giving that the middle finger.
Okay, I think. I think there's sort of a thing kind of in the middle here, because this is a Star Wars property. And right. I think there's only so much leeway these directors probably had. I think they were probably given a lot of plot points and a lot of, you know, things that had to happen. I'm speculating here. No? You don't think so?
Based on the... I don't know if you saw the same movie I did, but the consistency of between point A and point B, apparently no one was chasing after him to do.
Well, it goes to the mystery stuff. I think... And this purely speculation on my point, mm-hmm. that they gave J.J. Abrams like the skeleton of the story.
I think he wrote it.
You think he?
That, yeah, really? he rebooted Star Wars. He relaunched it. He and Kasdan rewrote Force Awakens together.
So you don't think this is somebody at Disney has like planned any of this out? No.
No, Abrams.
All right.
Yeah, he said a couple of years ago the second movie's weird. Like, so Rian Johnson wrote The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
The directors are writing their movies.
Huh.
So they have major beats they have to hit, but they are clearly given a lot of leeway.
Okay.
I mean, how else do you explain the 180 this movie takes?
Well, in my mind, J.J. Abrams was introducing a lot of unnecessary stuff. Like,
yeah.
With that, especially with the mystery stuff. That
yeah. About. His mystery box. It's the J.J. Abrams mystery box.
Yeah. Fact. And so, Johnson?
Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson.
Who, by the way, did Looper and Brick, which are fantastic movies. Anyway, go on.
I think he did a really great service by just trimming a lot of that stuff away.
Yeah.
And I think that, if anything, getting rid of the mystery about Snoke, nobody cares. He's dead.
And that's how it plays out.
Yeah.
It's like straight up, oh, did you give a shit about him? I didn't. He's dead.
And rightly, we shouldn't have. There was no reason to give a shit about him. All he was a mysterious figure in...
He was a corrupting influence. That's all you needed. It's all he needed to be. He was a stupid character.
Yeah. Oh, my God. One of my favorite parts, though, one of my favorite lines was Snoke. It's like, why are you wearing that stupid helmet?
Yeah, he's giving out Kylo's shit.
And then Kylo takes off, well, I guess I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yes! Oh my God, that was such a stupid helmet. Oh my God.
There's a lot of, it just felt like a lot of...
And that was kind of a fuck you to J.J. Abrams.
There was a lot of
this
those.
Was dumb, J.J. Yeah. I'm getting rid of it.
We don't need another Darth Vader, or fetish of Darth Vader. Just fucking get rid of that. So the who are Ray's parents?
Doesn't matter.
They were drunks,
and that's true. I mean, now it shouldn't matter. It really shouldn't. People shouldn't have been hung up on that.
Well, but the problem is you have these 2 years that have gone by where it's the Lost problem. What's in the hatch? Like you build up a mystery. And you let it dangle for a while, and the internet is going to give it a life. And then, inevitably, nothing you deliver is ever going to live up to it. And I thought Rian Johnson did it really well. It's like, let's
just go. He said it's not important who her parents were.
Well, the whole point of this... They were nobody,
just like Anakin's parents didn't fucking matter.
Well, because we still don't know who his father was, because he was conceived by the Force bullshit.
Yeah.
Right?
And but we know she's not... A fucking Skywalker.
No, and that's which is a valid big,
yeah.
And that's a valid point, and that was very much, and I've read a lot of the final scene with the kid and the broom. That's what that's about, and Rian Johnson's talked about this in interviews. This is doing something very important, right? Star Wars has been shackled to the Skywalker lineage.
Yes.
And it has created some real issues in the prequels and then now in the Abrams era.
Yes.
And so this movie was all about trying to remove those shackles and saying Rey is not part of that lineage because the Force can be with fucking anyone.
Right.
And even in the prequels.
Did you read the film Crit Hulk? Is that what you...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's long.
I just read that one today.
That is a long rant. Holy shit.
But he really liked it.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't read that one. Okay. I only read Force Awakens. Yeah. I should read that.
Spoiler the Force alert, Awakens. He likes that one a lot. He likes Last Jedi a lot.
So... My gut reaction to Last Jedi is that it has some fucking flaws. It has some fucking flaws as a movie. It has some flaws as a Star Wars movie. But it is a Star Wars movie. And if it fails on it, if it stumbles on occasion, it succeeds at being a Star Wars movie, which no one is ever going to convince me Force Awakens succeeded.
Yeah.
And to directly quote film Crit Hulk, the reason I hate Force Awakens so much is it is not a Star Wars movie. It is a movie about Star Wars. And nostalgia porn does not a Star Wars movie make. So yes. Last Jedi took some risks. They didn't all work.
Yeah.
But I would watch that, and I will watch that again happily and look forward to it, you know, because there's a lot to glean.
So Last Jedi is a big recalibration in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recalibration of the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
It's in a sense, I got the feeling that it's like it looks back and sees all the things that have happened, you know, the long running Rebel versus Empire versus First Order or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And takes a hard look at where has that gotten us now.
And then applies liberal doses of reality to where outcomes should sort end of. Up in certain areas.
Yeah, and it says, okay, this conflict is not going anywhere. And it makes that abundantly clear.
Yeah.
You know, the shit that we've been doing to fight the Empire, it ain't working.
Nope. Not the new Empire, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we blew up a Death Star, they built another one. We blew up that one, they built another one.
Apparently, they have an unlimited budget.
So, yeah, this whole us constantly going back and blowing up Death Stars is just not working out.
Right. The ideology is still very much alive. No one seems to be
fighting that. And I think that, and of course, you know, I'm referring to the conflict between the characters like Poe. Okay, very specifically to Poe.
Oh, you mean the bad guy of the movie?
Well, that's kind of debatable. But yeah. So, yeah, Poe is very much old Star Wars.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to hop in the X-Wing, going to do a trench run, and we're going to blow this thing up. Because that's what we do.
Right. He's like the vintage machismo, everything kind of works out because I'm a white male. And for no other good reason. Well, but that's how those movies worked.
Yeah.
I'll read into it a bit. All right. I'll walk that one back.
Yeah, okay. I get that. I mean, I get that.
And I'm not trying to play to that angle, but that's how the Han Solos and the Luke Skywalkers worked, right?
Yes.
They winged it and it always worked out for them.
Yes.
Life doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
And
but the Star Wars films always have.
Right. Up until and this point.
And I think that's a big problem for a lot of the diehard Star Wars fans who are like, I am here for space fucking Western
right.
and space opera,
mm-hmm.
and you're putting the brakes on that for me.
Big time.
Yeah.
You're peeking behind the curtain and really making me examine, like, a lot of the shit I didn't want to think about.
Yeah. Which, this. I mean, it's interesting. And I can appreciate it, and I can go down that, I can go there mm-hmm. with the film. But I feel like a lot of the guy fans probably couldn't.
Well, it's threatening. It's a safe place. Star Wars is a safe place for, like, white male fanboys for the most part. I mean, it is. And this really kind of took that away and it made it, you know, oh, let's not make it just for men.
Yeah.
Let's open up to it. Let's put women in charge. Let's have them be smarter. And then let's have the men challenge that and then cause a lot of bad shit to happen.
Yeah. And one of the, we'll get right into this. One of the biggest complaints I've seen in forum post after forum post.
From the internets.
Is... what was the admiral's name? I forget what her name is.
Laura Dern, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot her name.
Is well, she should have told Poe what the plan was.
Which I've said myself, but criticizing the plot point, but that's not how the military works.
That's not how the military works? And that's, again, you're putting it on her to tell him what this big plan is.
Right.
And not on him to say, hey... I've got this crazy idea.
Right.
Let's do this.
Can we run that? Can I run this by you?
Yeah, let me run this by you.
Because you're in charge and I'm not. And you're older and more experienced. And also you survived that battle of blah, 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 which is made up. And I'm sure someone's going to write a short story about it. But everyone talks about it in hushed tones. Oh, she was at the battle. It was a throwaway line.
Now, to be fair, Johnson is really setting you up for this. He is setting you up, clearly saying, this is how we do things in Star Wars.
Yep.
We're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's going to work.
Right. Because it always has.
Hey, this is a person, Admiral. What does she know?
Right.
Fucking Admiral. They never do anything. They tell you it's a trap, maybe, whatever. But right. It's too late.
Akbar
is always up to the hero to get in, and then he really pulls the rug out from under you.
Oh my God, so bad. So you can tie most of the new old Rebel Alliance getting wiped out to Poe.
Yes.
And if not to Poe, definitely to Finn and Rose.
Yeah.
Mostly to Finn.
Yeah.
Which I think is very interesting. But the thing about this movie, more than anything, other than the giant middle finger to J.J. Abrams, was the consequences issue. Which is only an issue because it wasn't an issue in every other Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. Except Rogue One did kind of sort of set the stage when you go back and look at it. So it is actually kind of a good segue from Force Awakens to this. But it's not like anyone was looking for that.
All right, so what specifically are you talking about?
Well, okay, so first of all, spoiler alert, everyone fucking dies in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Okay, now yes, you can absolutely argue that there are storytelling necessities there because why weren't they in the original trilogy, so they have to die. But there are plenty of ways to get around that. And if they wanted to, they could have. But everyone dies. And yes. Shit works through a great deal of sacrifice.
And luck.
And
then the crazy, luck that always has to happen in the Star Wars.
Yes, which is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. But, I felt that they called out a lot of it very directly as such. So when, was it Donnie Yen? Is that who it was?
Mm-hmm. Donnie Yen.
When he's, walking out across all the blaster fire because their plan's fucked.
Yeah.
And he's got to hit that switch. Mm-hmm. Right, he is repeating a spiritual mantra to get him there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it sort of gives onus to there is some kind of greater power at play. And you can take that for what it is, but it isn't just winging it. He doesn't mm-hmm. just do a couple of somersaults, get around a bunch of blaster fire, and then hits the switch. Mm-hmm. It's like he fucking deliberately goes out there and basically prays the whole time to get there,
mm-hmm.
which is very different for Star Wars. And then dies on top of that.
Yeah.
But Rogue One had... My point is Rogue One had consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't just magically survive. You know what I mean? So, yes. And that was a departure. It's like it was the most heavy Star Wars movie up to that point.
Well, I would argue that the first one had a lot of that, too.
A New Hope?
Yeah.
I felt like it didn't take a lot of time on it, though.
Well, yeah. The big trench run, a lot of people died.
Yeah, but I've never... None of the mains, and it just sort of, it's like so quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always had a problem with that. And I think that's just a space problem. But
that's fair.
Anyway.
A lot of the consequence had to be, there had to be the rebels losing in this one. I think if you didn't know that, you should have known that.
Well, because this is the Empire.
Second one.
Right,
yeah.
It's the dark one.
It's the Empire's turn to win in this one.
Right, because that's the history.
So, yeah. So, in the sense, I think that was certainly, those were the notes that Johnson had to hit.
Right.
But the way he hit them was really, like I said, pulling the rug out.
Yes. Now, as I've said, there are some real problems with this movie. The space chase, the slow motion, the slow speed chase.
God, yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to fanboy that because there are, just using Star Wars logic, there's so many problems with that.
Yeah.
And so many ways the New Order could have just fucking taken care of that shit within 5 minutes.
Yes.
So, yeah, not good writing there. you can take out the casino sequence and with minimal writing... fix that lack of tiny bit of plot to get Benicio del Toro into the story and nothing changes. It is almost entirely irrelevant.
I mostly agree. I think that thing at the casino really showed kind of the bigger picture of what goes on in the Empire, and what it should have done was give Finn and Rose more time to have relationship built. But I don't think it really did a very good job.
It was squandered.
It was so much of it was just nonstop action
I loved Rose. I really liked the character. Mm-hmm. And I liked the connection she had with her sister and all that. I thought she was very underserved in this movie. And I did not feel like the romance, the budding romance angle by the end was justified.
Yeah.
I know that I had that too. I recognize that I was being told that I should be accepting of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I recognize that the stuff that was happening was like telling me, hey, there's romance happening here. But I wasn't seeing it. I didn't see chemistry. I didn't see the conversation and the writing and the direction justifying it.
Yeah.
Which is what I mean by you could have, the way things played out, you could have tossed the casino sequence and with very minimal writing, the effect would have been the same because it was squandered.
Yeah. Some people really liked it. I think Film Crit Holt liked it a lot, but I
really?
Oh. I kind of agree with you. I would have liked to have seen the more of Finn and Rose becoming something.
Yeah. Also, J.J. Abrams, oh, there's romance with Finn and Rey. Ryan Johnson, fuck you!
There could still be...
Well, they're doing the love triangle, but then they're doing a love quadrangle, because now you got Poe being like, hey, hi Rey, I'm Poe. And I was like, oh, here we go. I did read like one or two trolls who were like, oh, what, the black guy can't end up with the white guy? He's got to end up with the Asian girl? I was like, God, come on.
What's her name? The female, the stormtrooper leader.
The magical Phasma.
Phasma, whatever.
Who like survived the first movie for no reason and then had no point in this movie and flies across the room. What the fuck, dude?
I mean, this a popular actor from Game of Thrones, and she's just
Gwendolyn Christie's just there,
thrown off. Yeah,
yeah, and then killed like really unceremoniously. Not as unceremoniously as Ackbar, who's just killed off screen.
All I can think of, though, is that...
She's going to come back again?
Yeah.
She's the Terminator.
And that's really what should happen. That should be... It was a crappy scene. There's no way Finn should have been able to hold his own against her.
No. Hey, Finn... I'm pretty sure Finn should not actually be able to hold his own against anyone.
Anyone, yeah.
Because, like... And I read these other stories where he's actually very well trained and he's actually good at fighting, but you never get that
sense. But he's just a stormtrooper. He's just a grunt stormtrooper.
And you never get that sense that he's any good at it.
No.
In the movies, you know what I mean? Again, the movies have to stand on their own, and his character is... Finn is torn. That is his defining characteristic.
Yeah.
He is torn just all the time on any decision.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go on.
I think he's a great actor. And
he's a she, we know yeah. we know he's a great actor. He's just
he needs more to do.
He's just written in this like he has this like fucking mental schism constantly.
Yeah. So the get do we skip to the end the big scene
which I loved. Well, we haven't gotten into Rey and Luke at all.
Okay.
So.
Those scenes didn't do that much for me.
They didn't. There's apparently a third training scene that has been leaked online. I haven't watched it. I was a little disappointed, and I think that was the point, was she was disappointed. Okay, I will say this. The Rey Kylo scenes,
mm-hmm.
I thought they were fucking sizzling.
Yeah.
And in multiple ways.
It was... At first, I was like, what is this? What's going on?
Yeah, well, you should, because it's weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Like, can they actually see each other? Like, where does it start and stop?
But the more I think about it, the more I think it worked.
I really thought there was legitimate chemistry in multiple ways. Like, she hated him, but and then the shirtless scene was hilarious.
Yeah.
And that was purely like Ryan Johnson being like, he's in really good shape. Let's screw with everyone and do this. That was like how that was apparently.
Which is funny because you like, every time you see him, you think he's just going to be like some scrawny kid.
Right.
But he's actually jacked. He's like
jacked,
like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow. All right. Which is basically Razor, actually. Oh, wow. But yeah, and the people are still holding out that they're siblings, of course. They were like titillated by that. But I thought that worked really well. And then. Leading up to the fight scene with the Praetorian Guard.
The whole thing with Snoke, though, putting, I planned all of this. Space and magic. I put that...
Space magic. It was bullshit.
I put those visions in your heads.
Yeah, no, that was really dumb.
It was dumb. At the same time, though, looking back, I can appreciate that Johnson is saying, fuck destiny.
Right.
There is no magical destiny visions.
Right.
They're just something that this guy bullshitted into your head. J.J. Abrams, I mean.
Yeah.
Not Snoke.
Ryan Johnson's here to set the record straight. Fuck you, J.J. Abrams.
So, yeah, destiny is bullshit. You're here to...
You make your own destiny.
Yeah, you're going to make it for yourselves.
Or you're going to be a puppet of someone else.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one or the other. Take the reins.
I think I like the way that they took Snoke out. I mean, it was very cleverly done. At the same time, I'm like, really? Did this Sith Lord really just fall for that?
Well, okay. He's not a Sith Lord, Smike.
Sure.
If you read the short stories, he goes in at length about how the Sith were flawed. I had that same... I saw what was happening right away, that Kylo was giving him an alternate set of... He was giving him alternate facts. and then Snoke fell for it. And yes, it comes down to you're writing to the hubris of the character.
Yeah.
And it's kind of lame.
Yeah.
But it gave us a really badass fight scene right after that. So
yeah,
I sort of forgave it.
I did. I really liked the armor that was, I guess, lightsaber proof.
Yeah.
Except I was wondering, why didn't they have that everywhere?
Yeah.
Why? Is it really expensive? Only on your shoulders? Really? You don't want to put it on your helmet? Really?
I would like it on my and my face.
I mean, it didn't look like it was heavier than the other stuff. I mean, just put that everywhere, you know?
Yeah, you know, I just cover my whole body. Whole fucking body. In fact, give every stormtrooper, we know they're a Jedi again, start rolling this shit out. Can we get a Kickstarter for this, guys? Praetorian.com. Someone check if that URL's used.
Yes. Oh, it can't hurt his shoulder. Well, I guess I'll just have to hit him in the chest.
I can only get his shoulders. I can't stab. I can only swing. Ryan, so people kept saying, why weren't the Knights of Ren in this movie? And he goes, listen, I wanted to put them in the movie, but the only place it would have made sense was to make them the Praetorian Guard, and they would have died. So out of respect for all of you, I did not put the Knights of Ren in this fucking movie. He's been really funny about everything. I was disappointed in Mark Hamill as Luke.
Initially, in the first few scenes, yeah, the whole... I don't want to train you. I'm going to milk green stuff out of this monster and drink it and go crazy.
To go fishing and there's some weird Jim Henson shit going on with some weird giant Muppets.
Yeah.
Keep in mind. If you're not aware of this, so there's actually a very practical reason why the porgs are there.
Yeah.
I immediately thought it was Disney marketing 101. Mm-hmm. But apparently the island that they were filming on was a nature reserve that was overrun by puffins, and you're not allowed to remove the puffins. And so someone went up to Ryan Johnson early on and said, what are we going to do? We can't not have puffins in the scene. And so
they must just be not afraid of people. They're just like, because they don't do anything.
There's nowhere to go. Yeah. I don't think they had anywhere to run away to if they were afraid. There's probably a film crew overrunning this island. So he looked at it and was like, it would be more expensive to remove them in post. Mm-hmm. So he's like, cover them up. So, hence the porks. Mark Hamill is a great actor, and I was a little disappointed with what... And he was in interviews, he admitted he was disappointed in how they wrote Luke early on. Really, the whole movie. He said he was playing Jake Skywalker. He's like, this isn't what Luke would do at all. So, I had to come up with a different version of the character. And then he kind of walked it back. But, so that was a little disappointing. Interesting. Different. As a Star Wars fan, it was disappointing.
But until the end.
Until the end. So let's get to the end.
Yes.
The rebels have gotten their asses kicked. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because they make, some of them make stupid decision after stupid decision. And then the badassness happens.
Yeah.
Or does it?
So, yeah. So Luke.
No. Yoda. We have to talk about Yoda.
Okay.
Fucking fantastic. Favorite part of the movie. Because it wasn't bouncing off the wall CG Yoda. It was old school Frank Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was Frank Oz.
Oh, okay.
Doing the puppet, doing the voice, then adding the ghost effect in post. It felt like such a joyous return to Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
It was old Yoda.
And it was one of the and this is, as we wrap this up, what Yoda said, I'm afraid, is going to be lost in the last movie.
And probably.
Because it was key. It was key to this whole second film, is Yoda saying, okay, yeah, you've learned all this other stuff. Now you need to learn from failure.
Right.
And that applies to like almost every character in the film.
In addition to removing the old guard.
Yes.
Pretty definitively. Yes. It's about growing from your mistakes.
Yeah, it's growing from your mistakes. And
that does not seem like a J.J.
And that
Abrams
is a tall fucking order for J.J. Abrams.
For J.J. Abrams and for Star Wars. On. This trilogy is going to be so bad.
So Johnson's like, okay, I've set this up. All of these characters have been through shit. They've screwed up. They know they've screwed up.
Hey, Ryan, J.J.
And some of them.
No, Ryan, I'm sorry.
Are going to change.
J.J.'s taking the third movie and, back.
The fuck.
There was someone else, and they fired him.
Well, at least I got rid of the helmet.
You're welcome. Drops the mic. Okay, so one thing I want to talk about really quickly, because mm-hmm. I missed this entirely. And it's really weird. Most guys I've mentioned this to missed it. Mm-hmm. Most women I've talked to caught it. I don't understand why. So right before the tree is lit on fire.
Yeah.
Luke is waffling, right? He's about to burn it and burn the library of old Jedi books, and then he doesn't. And then Yoda has this great, you know, appearance. He shows up, and he says, and I quote, you know, there's nothing in there that the girl does not already possess.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you think, oh, clearly he's saying that she already, you know, in her, innately, she has the understanding of what it means to be a Jedi or to take the order forward, whatever interpretation of that ilk you want.
Mm-hmm.
No, what he said was, girl stole the books. She fucking has them already. Burn the tree if you want. There's nothing in there because she's already fucking got them. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. And burning the tree was really, it was something Luke needed to do for Luke.
It was entirely for Luke. And yeah. It's cool to go back to that and realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't make it obvious that she has the books. It is a blink and you miss it thing.
Yeah.
And the Millennium Falcon, Rose is laying there. Finn opens the drawer.
Abrams noticed it.
Someone better tell him.
So it's like, JJ, did you see?
What?
She has
Lens
the
flare!
Books.
Lens flare!
God damn you, JJ.
Lens flare? Mystery box? Mystery box with lens flare? But yeah, he opens the drawer to give her a blanket, and I didn't even notice. Erica was like, yeah, I saw that.
I didn't see it either.
The books are right there. And it's mm-hmm. it's a blink and you miss it. So subtle, like not a Star Wars thing at all. It's like, oh, yeah, she stole the books. Okay. The ending. The big ending.
The big fight, not fight.
Yes. The very Zen fight.
Yes. When Luke finally, quote, shows up, unquote.
Did you pick up on any of the clues?
I didn't. I should have, because I don't think he left the track when he moved his foot, right?
Yeah. There's no footprints. He has his blue lightsaber.
Yeah.
Which we saw destroyed and right. wasn't in his possession.
And I noticed that too. I was like, oh, did he get another lightsaber? I just kind of.
Glossed over it.
But I mean, I noticed it, but I was like, okay, whatever.
And he was younger, which I didn't notice any of that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like not gray anymore.
But yeah, I should have noticed that he didn't leave
footprints.
A footprint.
Yeah.
Because that was,
they're too, the attention to
Johnson was really calling that out, and that's on me.
Well, because they established that the ground changes color.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of attention to that. What a great fuck. What a, I mean, the movie gets so cool at that moment.
Yeah. And Hamill did a fantastic job in that last scene.
Yeah.
See you around, kid.
Just the amount of blaster fire.
Yeah.
Where he's standing is just amazing. Could have done without the crystal dogs.
Nah.
Not good CG. But yeah, that was great. And then he has that kind of goofy falls off the rock back on the planet. And I was like, wow, he's feeble. Okay, I get it. It was kind of silly, and then he becomes one with the Force, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a Mark Hamill Force ghost in the next movie. There's no way you're not going to.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I love that line, that see you around, kid. It's like that kind of like, I've come, I've apologized, I'm doing this for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of fuck you.
Yeah. I think it was a good amount of fuck you. Yeah, and then... The putting the call out to everyone and then no one responding.
Well, who? I mean, I didn't think anybody was going to respond.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I didn't see where that was really going.
It was the larger, the spark that lights the fire that shines the beacon on the mirror of the hope of the rebel. There was a lot of weird modifiers the way
I know. And like, you've got what, like 30 minutes for people to show up? Like, what? They're already dead. I was just putting my pants on. I was gonna go,
guys. I couldn't find my keys.
Give me a little warning next time, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're all dead. Jeez. Guess I'll go back to sleep. Yeah, it's a weird movie. It's a weird yeah. Star Wars movie.
And one of the big things is obviously supposed to be Rose kind of being the one that is focused on planting that seed and, you know, talking to the kids and, you know, giving them the ring and and I think that's meant to be, yeah, this is the way forward for the rebellion.
So according to Rian Johnson, there's two things that final scene is doing. Mm-hmm. So they're playing with a Luke Skywalker figure, homemade. That's what they're doing, the kids, before they get yelled at, they go clean.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, you know, a lot of people are thinking that it's not about Luke. He's like, it is very much about Luke. He in the end is the one who actually lights the fire. Hmm. He needed to come back to represent something bigger. That's what the rebellion was missing.
Hmm.
That's why they weren't getting support. But then he said, but yes, the other interpretation with the broomstick is absolutely correct. This is a kid who's not a Skywalker and he's using the Force. He's not even thinking about it. He's just innately doing it. So he's like, yes, that is the other point, is it's about Luke and then it's really, really not about Luke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought it was interesting because Rian Johnson's been very open to talking about his.
Luke is the inspiration, but he's inspiration for everyone.
He's the inspiration and then he's getting the fuck out of the way. From the story, so that it's not shackled to the Skywalker saga anymore. I was equal parts excited and disappointed in Last Jedi. Again, it was a Star Wars movie. It stumbled at times. I thought the universe was better after.
Yeah. You know? I think he's definitely, I mean, if there anybody other than J.J. Abrams following this,
it could
it's
be
like
great.
Set up a lie. Yeah, it's like, okay, this is an important, this is, here's a relationship, here's, you know, here's Rey and where she is right now.
Stop looking there and look at the important shit.
The mystery isn't, we're not worried about some mystery thing.
This isn't Super 8.
Yeah. Here they go. People have failed, and now they have the choice of learning from it and moving on, or not learning and repeating. You've got those options for these characters.
But as a competent, competent director could make a choice. Right, and
go
do your fucking job.
Yeah.
Oh, JJ, hey, what's up?
God damn it.
In the end, we're going to look back at this trilogy and see that it is the least cohesive trilogy in the history of trilogies. Because it's going to be a fucking pinball. It's going to be bouncing all over the place.
Because Abrams is going to be like, oh, you didn't call off the Knights of Ren. I'm going to bring those fuckers back.
Yeah, well, they're coming back. And he doesn't. And there's already a lot of people being like,
maybe
doesn't.
Snoke isn't dead, huh?
Well,
fuck you, man.
I think he's going to keep that. But the parents thing, everyone's like, there's no reason he has to actually adhere to that. And then how awful, how undercutting would that be to just the overall trilogy?
It's stupid. Her parents shouldn't be that big of a deal.
No, they shouldn't.
It's a waste of time. We don't need two more characters to be introduced in this mess.
Right. Because it is. It's a mess. No.
You got too many characters to worry about already.
The last movie should be about a younger generation of heroes who have now been given, their headspace has been cleared of all the old folks.
Yeah,
and they need to carry the torch, but they've made mistakes and can learn from it. A real hero would learn from it.
Yeah,
right. You're absolutely right, but it requires.
And I mean, it's perfect to set up. Rey learns from this, Ren doesn't.
Right,
and that's your core
downfall.
Of your fucking movie right there.
Right, and that's his downfall. And then Poe becomes a competent military leader, and Finn finds his identity and finds a cause that he can stick with.
And it kills me to say this, but what would be perfect in this would be another Death Star. No, I'm serious. Hear me out. Because it's classic. If Kylo Ren's J.J. like, Abrams. I need another goddamn Death Star because that's the way we do things, and I just want it bigger and more...
rounder and trenchier. And it needs to have an even bigger glaring flaw that will cause it to blow up.
But it wouldn't.
Okay, so it's the perfect. They finally perfected this.
Kylo Ren is spherical, like, you made me a perfect goddamn Death Star this time. None, don't put a fucking
exhaust port or trench port. Or anything.
And they do that. The flaw is
Kylo Ren.
The flaw is the people who have built it.
They turn on him.
They make it so it doesn't work.
Oh, like the Rogue One.
The just the regular people, the engineers, yeah, the people,
the intentional,
the grunt people that they like are pulling from all these planets to work on it,
which they've talked about that there are oppressed people,
yeah,
yeah.
They just like, no, I'm not. The rebellion would spread that way.
Okay,
the people who were building the damn Death Star intentionally sabotage it.
Okay,
it's not a big explosion. It just doesn't. It just doesn't work.
So it's not with a bang, it's a whimper.
Whimper, yeah.
So they kind of did that with Rogue One, though.
Wow.
That really weird retro, you know, retcon thing with her dad building in the flaw. It's interesting. It's interesting, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that's the hero.
Right.
I think what Johnson is moving to is the rebellion is going to succeed because the people will believe in it.
Right. That would make it do better in China. No, I'm dead serious. You know that it's a huge flop.
Really?
Star Wars has never done well in China, huh. But this movie like underperformed even for that. And the general consensus is it's too individually heroic driven. And that like cultural consciousness isn't like excited by that. So if you had it's a little on the nose, but like a mass uprising of people throwing off an oppressor, that's really going to appeal to the Chinese a lot than like, you know, right. One or two heroes. Like, I am supremely confident and capable on my own with no help from my comrades. Just food for thought.
Anyway, just throwing that out. JJ, I know you love your Death Stars, so, you know, this might actually be a good time to have another Death Star.
For once.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I think need to see it again. I think I need to watch this movie again.
I'm totally going to watch it again. I'm waiting for Blu-ray.
Okay. Watch it again when you get that.
Yeah, you want? We'll go watch it together, and then we can pick it apart or praise it.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff. Fun fact, Benicio del Toro's character was going to be Lando Calrissian, but then they thought about it, and they're like, we have to have this character sell them out. Mm-hmm. And so that would make Lando Calrissian like really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they nixed it because of that. They didn't want. Oh, okay. They're like, we really want to bring Lando back, but we really didn't want to make him a bad guy.
Right.
So.
Right.
They tossed it.
A good call.
Yeah. We are buddies in space. You are.
S. Michael Smith, and you are.
And Michael Carassi. Take it away, Melanie.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
So the Han Solo movie, you just not care at all?
I don't care at all.
Yeah.
It's so troubled as a production.
I've heard that, yeah.
Like, I want to see the buddy comedy that they made, because it's an entire movie that was made. Just didn't get edited before they fired the guys.
Yeah.
Like, they made the Lego movie, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
I think it's those guys, yeah. Like, how fucking cool would that movie be?
I don't know, man. I'm afraid that it's going to be too much of an origin movie. And I don't want to see that. I don't need to see Han Solo like going through whatever and then meeting Chewbacca and never. I don't care.
I feel like that's what it's going to be.
I think that's what it's going to be.
I mean, Ron Howard's a very safe.
Put them together and just go. I mean, if you're going to do that, get it over with in like the first 3 minutes, and then let's get on with this. Let's get on with the buddy stuff.
And I think that's what the original directors did.
Okay.
And then Disney didn't like it. But yeah, there seems to be, I was reading an article where they're saying that Disney's like kind of, they were giving leeway for a while, and now they're starting to walk that back.
Because it was too much of a comedy? Is that the problem?
Apparently it was a screwball, it was like almost like screwball, like buddy comedy. And I would have fucking loved that.
I saw, they were doing screwball comedy stuff in Force Awakens with Han and Chewie. And it was not well done.
It didn't work, yeah. It didn't work. J.J. Abrams doesn't know how to do that. Also, Harrison Ford.
I mean, well, okay.
But there's some really great goofy shit that Harrison Ford did back in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
You know?
It was good in doses. I don't know if it holds up for a whole movie.
right, you would need the right cast, right? And it would feel weird, but I still would like to see it, but no, never will.
Yeah. John Carpenter would have been the director for that.
John, Big Trouble
in Little China, yeah.
big solo and
big solo and little Jabba. I don't know.
Tatooine.